not even including weekends, because and I'm 306 hours. How many days do we have? We have 352 days in the year.
365.
I don't remember.
What's wrong with you?
I never take leave, so I don't know. So can we keep telling, what does it entail? And I think we asked that last year, we didn't get to know this in the case, also where did they have these outreach programs, so that we can have clarity on it. The second issue that I would like to know, and I'm asking this question because it's a reoccurring non-achievement of goals. The policies reviewed, it's been on your APPs forever and ever and a day, and you now only stand at 31%, and then if you think about the fact that we also have the Auditor General speaking about the lack of policies in terms of IT, etc., etc. So can we get those? Honourable Ndlovu, Honourable Mulabatri, anybody else on Programme 1? That really wants to continue, please.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Right.
there's a list that I have of 16 policies. Thank you. Establishment. taken the rate of 13.9, so program 3 means has more patients.
So, but that now includes the 11 posts, correct?
Yes.
Now, can you give it to me where should this major vacancy rate of health be?
Without the number of chapters, the biggest vacancy rate was the national office. The national office in program 1, which is where we experience also the initial turnover, different dimension of other departments.
Can we deduct from that it's no longer a problem with vacancies in terms of investigators?
Yeah, we don't experience a lot of turnover in the investigation service. Most of the turnover in the national office and strong
in the office. Help me, you have a scavenger report that you wanted to give us.
In Saudi, we have one vacant post, which is that of the principal investigator. And this position came vacant on the 3rd of June this year. Shortlisted for the second place, and the interviews are scheduled for the 18th. On the welcome team, we don't have any vacant posts except that of the provincial heads. In the eastern state, we have one vacancy, the director of investigation, which became vacant on the 1st of March 2013. Interviews have already been held, and the appointment is pending there. While in Natal, apart from the provincial heads, we have the two positions vacant, complaint receptionist, which became vacant on the 1st of September 2013. There is a process to fill this position on place. It was advertised, and the process now points to the panel and to the interview. There's also a principal investigator post vacant there. It became vacant recently on the 1st of October. Yet to advertise, so the advertising process is yet to begin. In the Mopo, more vacancies, there is Northwest, there is a principal investigator post, which became vacant on the 1st of October. The process has been advertised already. Selection process is underway, so this can be set for the 18th of October. In the Northern Cape, the
program on Honourable George.
Just one question for my side, Madam Chair. Well, it happened that they have positions like level one class or that they are paid less than other state organizations. Because if that's the case, like you said, it doesn't matter if you see position, but you won't have a very, very serious problem of labor.
Also, a question, there's no other question? No, nobody else? Program 1. Okay, my question on Program 1 is around the issuing of policing powers. The issuing of policing powers. Is this still a challenge? Can we get an indication, or have you got this under control? Policing powers for investigators. Ask a question. You're welcome to ask that question. I'm going to go. Listen, I mean, you just switch off your microphone. Madam, this is Lamy, not you.
Thank you. happened. We already know that that happened. His sort of skin or the kind of protection that you can apply to in an uptight environment, then apply for the issue of the producing power from the minister. And from my experiences, I've never experienced any problems since we started that process, because at least he knows we are not saying issue, we are not saying issue producing power to Mr. Chisedi pending a report from state security agency. Now we submit the report from state security agency and say on the basis of this, we believe that this is a suitable person to be given policing power. So we have split the two, vetting and screening. The screening is happening during the recruitment process before we confirm appointment, and the vetting takes place then after, because that takes longer from the state security agency point of view.
Thank you very much. Members, any other questions on this? Can I just get clarity on corporate governance? You've now established it. What is corporate governance going to do? What are they doing?
The chairperson, their main responsibility is monitoring and evaluation. They monitor and evaluate the performance of the organization and the entire organizational performance, but they also assist us with the monitoring of the quality of the investigations and are taken by various committees. But this unit is not yet fully capacitated. We only have one deputy director monitoring and evaluation, and within that we also have risk management, which is also a one-man show, and then we also have corporate governance, which deals with the reporting framework, the coordination and liaison with president on MCAT, coordination and liaison with internal audit and auditors. So it's various functions that are performed there, but we are not yet at a stage where we can say it is fully functional. We now have people who are strictly focusing on each and every investigative work or project that is in application.
So we can move on to program two. Before we do, can I just give you the summary of program one? We want to see improvement in the measurement of the effectiveness and impact of community outreach events. And I think one of the ways to do so is to add to your former academic responsibility, for example, to add how many complaints came as a result of that information. Finalize the policy review framework, including the outstanding policies, and report on that. And presently within this financial year, I don't think it's going to happen, because you're already 6 months into it, and we basically know that. But, and then we want a full report on that current status of the vacancies that Mr. Tramini felt is really given us in that point. Provide some details of the evaluation report of the corporate governance directorate. I must say I'm also a bit concerned about the answer that you gave in terms of the stakeholders that the Honourable Global asked. Because we know that you have 4 meetings with the civilian secretariat of police. You've listed quite a number of people that you see as stakeholders, which means either this is not captured properly, or you need to look at how you report on this and be specific around. Maybe that's one of the ways one can look at it. Because we know that you had 4 meetings with disability, and they reported on that yesterday. And that's 5 meetings. I'm sure you have met with the NTA more than once. So you've definitely not captured properly. So can we have that as a further recommendation that we do that properly? And maybe the trench case around those issues. Let's move on to program two, the core business of the director and the presentation on investigation and information management.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'll take you through slide 58. The executive director has already given an overview in terms of our
performance indicates us where we have been able to meet them and where we have not able to meet. I was just going into the details of our statistical information, the kind of work that we did in the year under the you'll see from slide 8 that we have received 6,728 cases in the year under the group. With Western Cape accounting for the most cases that we've received, and followed by Gauteng and Western. I must indicate here that the increase in the, this cases received is as a result of the new heightened mandate. As you are aware, that this was our first year of implementation of the mandate, and Section 29 of the Act obliges SAPS to report on these cases. So that is why we've seen this increase. As indicated in our annual report on page 18, we have realized a 37% increase in the number of cases that we've received. We have carried over 559 cases from the previous financial year, and the total workload came to 7,277, and they were able to complete 3,963 of all the total workload that we had in the year under review. And then the completion rate was nationally stands at 4%, with three states having the highest number of completion at 89%, followed by the four quarters. Northwest with 85%, Northern Cape 81%, and Limpopo with 75%. In the next slide, we indicate specific cases of gas. You will realize there that we had a total of 275 cases of gas in custody. And we had 431 cases of death as a result of police action. We had 670 cases of discharge of an official firearm, 146 cases of rape by police officers, and 22 cases of rape in police custody. When you look at page 20, as well as in one of our annual report, we give you more details there in respect of death cases, and we're indicating there that in respect of death in custody, we experienced a 19% increase, and in respect of death as a result of police action, we experienced a 12% decrease. But overall, when you look at all the death cases, the overall picture is that they have been decreased of about 2% from 2020 to 2006. The next slide talks to cases of assault, corruption, and other criminal matters, as well as non-compliance with the IPID Act and systemic corruption. You will realize that we had a total number of 4,181 cases of assault and torture, 120 cases of corruption, 750 cases of other criminal matters, and 127 cases of cases of non-compliance with the IPID Act. If you look at the presentation of our annual report, we indicate there in detail that our cases of assault and torture, there has been an increase there, quite a substantial increase of 218%. This is as a result, as I've indicated before, of the reporting obligation placed on the police in terms of 1739. But I think also it's opportune here to indicate to honorable members and chairperson that what we have also realized, as we see from our report, that we had a lot of cases of assault coming, which were in a majority. And that gives us an impression that when the IPID Act came into effect, the Honorable Committee was very clear that we should concentrate on more serious cases. But maybe because we did not define this part of the section properly in terms of the seriousness of the case, because it's just assault and torture. This resulted in us receiving a lot of these assault cases, like a slap and all that, we do receive that. So it created a huge increase in terms of this case. And it's something that we may have to engage with in the future to see how we deal with that. But yes, it created a lot of work for ourselves and put a lot of strain in terms of our resources. And when you look at that slide, you realize again that Western Cape was the highest again there, with 1,142 cases, followed by this case with 730 on assault and torture cases, and out there with 569. We had 127 cases of non-compliance. As members are aware, that section 33 of the Act makes the criminal offense member, it's SSTS members here to comply with the provision of section 39. So where we have picked up cases where member states comply, we are hoping this case is against those members involved. And those are the secret cases that we receive. So what that is open against members. In terms of air, in police custody, when we look at our workload as compared to what we've completed, we have completed a total of 180 cases out of a workload of 300 cases. Free State accounted for the highest with 100% completion of all the 23 cases we had. Northwest was second with the completion of 22 out of 23, and then followed by Limpopo with 30 out of 35 cases, and then Gauteng with 60 out of 72 cases. So the overall percentage for the department was with regard to the next slide, that's the result of police action. Out of a total of 499 workloads, we're able to complete 319 of them. A total percentage for the department sits at 64%. Again, this state accounted for the highest percentage, at 90%. 28 completed out of 51. As well as Limpopo and Mpumalanga. And they were followed by Western Cape, as well as Northwest Bay. And the next slide, these are cases of discharge of an official firearm, complaint of discharge of an official firearm. Of the 677 cases, workloads that we had, we're able to complete 393 of them, which gave a national average of 58%, with Free State again accounting for the highest percentage at 89%, followed by Northwest at 88%, and Limpopo at 73%, as well as Western Cape 69%.
I'm stopping you here. That table refers to table 3C, death as the result of police action, page 22 in the annual report. Am I correct? But the figures are not the same. The previous slide, go back to the previous slide. When you just
got a lot of police action.
Not the same.
before it is, is the cases that we receive for the year under review. The 499 is the total review. That is what we receive as well as the cases that we came with the 2017. That is what we're looking for. So in terms of when you look at the completion, you look at the completion of all the work that we have, not only what they receive.
My concern is that you're speaking on one slide, and what is in the annual report is something different. That is my concern. And everybody that reads this report does not have the advantage of sitting in this committee asking about this. Is there another table within the annual report that says exactly where is that table?
When you look at page 43 of the annual report.
That's fine. But I think you must make it clear when you start off where you refer to, because there are two slides there. And it doesn't make any sense, because the differences are also very close to each other. Please. Okay, continue.
Thank you, sir.
Tell us now which table in the annual report are you referring to?
Okay, the next slide is on a picture of firearm.
Right. I want
27 at the bottom, page 28 at the top.
Yes, sir. On page 27 of the annual report, we're talking about rape, incidents of rape. If you look at 3.36 intake, section 28D. So that was the intake, the new cases that came in that financial year, in the financial year.
Yeah.
However, on page 40, we're talking about the workload. What that means is that is the intake that we receive as well as what we brought from the previous financial year. So what it means is that in the previous financial year we brought one case of rape by people. That is why the total workload is higher than the intake by one. So we carry over, and I don't indicate that there are cases that we carry over from the previous financial year and we came into the new financial year.
So you carried over one test?
Yes. That is why the number differs from the total workload as to that of the year.
Okay, continue.
Okay.
Continue.
As I've indicated that in the annual report on page 28, we indicated also cases where members were involved in cases of rape, whether they were on duty or on duty, and then we indicated in our report that a rape that happened when members were off duty is 2% of the total number of cases, and rape that happened when they were on duty is 38% of those cases. The next slide talks to rape in police custody, and in that slide on rape in police custody, the total workload is 22 cases. It's 22 cases, and then we were able to complete 12 of those cases. The provinces that were able to complete all their cases, Eastern Cape, Free State, Limpopo, as well as Northern Cape. And then the total average for the department is 55%. We see that in Gauteng, the number of completion was a concern. Also there in the in our annual report on page 29, you will realize that we have given a split in terms of those cases, because these cases happened in police custody. We've given an indication as to in which cases where members were involved, in which cases where the civilians were involved, and indicated that in 41% of the cases civilians were involved in those cases in police custody. 41% yes. Civilians were involved in those cases. In police custody, whereas in 59% of cases, it was actually police officers who were involved in those cases. The next slide talks to cases of torture, and we indicate that.
Thank you.
flagged these cases of torture. We received 50 cases on the total workload of 50 cases of torture. And we were able to complete 14 of them. Northwest accounted for 75% of completion. The other provinces varied from 33% to 99%. The other provinces did not have cases of torture. And we put the average there at 28%. And then the next slide talks to the cases of assault. Here we have a total workload of 4,303 cases. 2,261 were completed with Free State and the Northwest accounting for the highest number of completion at 88%, followed by Northern Cape at 84%. And the total average for the department stands at 53%. The next slide talks to cases of corruption. We had a total workload of 153 cases, and we were able to complete only 53 of those, with the first state accounting for the highest number of completions, with 86% of cases. And followed by Limpopo with 57%, Mpumalanga 60%, and the average for the department stands at 40%. We also had cases of systemic corruption that were registered, and we had six of those cases, and Free State was able to complete the two cases that they had, and the other cases were not completed, and the national average is 33%. With regard to cases of non-compliance to IPIPN, in Kenya, we had a total workload of 157. We were only able to complete 95 of those. The highest number completed being with Free State, followed by Eastern Cape. No, Free State and Northern Cape, followed by Eastern Cape and Western Cape. The total average for the department stands at 75%. We also have cases of other criminal measures that are not provided for in terms of Section 28 of the IPID Act. This would fall under Section 28.1H. And here we had a total workload of 925, some from the ICT environment. We were able to complete 461 of those cases. Average for the department stands at 50%, with Free State showing the highest number of completion at 84%, followed by Mpumalanga with 83%, and Northwest with 72% of the case with 61%. We also had cases of misconduct or service delivery. In terms of our Act 28.1H, we need to look into those matters where we feel that the police are not active in those matters. The total workload was 88. However, we received for the current financial year only 47. That is those that the executive exercises powers in terms of the Act to that we can investigate those matters. So when you look and compare with the ICD environment, and we get a taste of the three or three details there, we actually significant decrease of these cases of misconduct. In terms of the completion, three states from Eastern County are workload of three cases, as well as Northwest. And Western Cape completed 21 of the 23 cases that they had. Gauteng completed 27 of the 24 cases. So, first state accounted for the highest number of completion, as well as Northwest 100%, followed by Western Cape 91%, and Gauteng at 79%, as well as Eastern Cape at 75%. The average for the department stands at 70%. There are cases that we are able to close in the year, and I review the total number of cases that we are able to close. It's 1,267 cases. And those cases that we will close, those are closed as a state of 55, convicted, 2.5, 1.7, dismissed 7. Those that we refer to other institutions are 179, and the unsubstantiated was 737, withdrawn was 92. And we also made recommendations to the DPP and SAPS. I said you are able to generate 1,088 recommendations to the DPP. However, only 545 of those were referred to the DPP. These are the cases where we actually have extra proof that these cases were referred. And those that we generated in respect of recommendation to SAPS is 1,040 cases, and then those that the proof that were actually referred to the SAPS is 788.
Explain that statement. The proof that has been referred as far as DPP as well as CAPS is concerned.
In terms of our process with Jefferson, a province would indicate that they have generated a particular number of recommendations either to the DPP or to the SAPS. But in terms of our process, we then require proof to prove that these cases were in fact received by this stakeholder. Because in terms of the act, we have to report to the minister that these matters were referred. So those matters that were referred to the minister, and in case to the minister, these matters were referred to these stakeholders, is those that we have received proof from the provinces that these cases, there is actual proof that they were referred to these stakeholders. Hence, we indicated that these are the cases that we actually referred to.
That's very serious. The serious question on my side. Because what you're telling us, the provinces can tell you anything. They're telling you that we've referred 1,088 to the DPP, while in fact only 545.
No, not a person. What we're saying is that the provinces are saying these are the recommendations that we've generated. In terms of the referral, we say unless we get proof from the court that these matters have actually been referred. So once they provide proof that they have been referred to this stakeholder, the DPP and the SAPS, that is when we include them in our report to the minister to indicate that these matters have actually been referred to these stakeholders. And we cannot hold these stakeholders accountable for those that have been generated. Because the generation itself does not mean referral. Sometimes they may have generated a recommendation, but it may still be going through approval processes within that province. Hence, we cannot regard it as being referred to these stakeholders. And therefore, we rely on information that can actually prove that these matters were referred to the stakeholders.
That's exactly my point. You've generated 1,000. 88 that you generate, only 545 have reached the DB. Where are the others?
I think something what you're trying to say is that at the end of the financial year, we have proof. Because what we did after getting all the information, we then sent a team from monitoring and evaluation and regional audit to go and audit the information and look for proof. We have proof that all these recommendations were generated based on the investigation. Out of those that are generated, some of them were still going through the approval process when we closed the financial year. Because we don't just generate the report and immediately send it to our stakeholder process. There's a quality control and quality check process in place. And out of those, some of them are in the process of being quality checked and quality controlled and approved. But those, the 700 and 88 are the ones that we have proved that were generated, referred to some part signed for. So every time when we refer, we have a system in place to prove that they were indeed generated. We don't just rely on the thing you said. We want somebody from that institution to either stamp it with a date and sign and indicate who that person is. So we rely mostly on the registrant. That is why we're able to go back to staff and say, according to our records, all these were sent. We can even tell them who within the institution have signed for these recommendations.
We understand that and we commend that. What we say is it's too low. If you generated 1,088, there's another 500 that is still in your system at the end of the year. Continue, please. We'll get to the questions.
The next slide, Chapter 3, talks to convictions. We've indicated that we had 57 criminal convictions. The annual report gives more details in terms of this conviction, the actual specifics in respect of each conviction. And with regard to departmental, we had 84 departmental convictions. Also, the annual report gives full details of each departmental conviction. You realize that the highest number of criminal convictions were in Limpopo, followed by KwaZulu-Natal and Gauteng, and Eastern Cape also followed. With regard to financial convictions, the highest number is in Western Cape, followed by Northwest and Eastern Cape. That's all.
Whether on on or off duty. And I want to remind members that the reason why we did that was because we said a police officer that rides off duty can easily be protected by police officers at the station who must investigate that issue. That's why they differentiate between the two.
Okay. I also have two I am asking you specifically
Are we taking that in consideration? Are you looking at and are you making recommendations around that as well? I'm sticking with the time that we had earlier. So we're going to break now. When we come back, they answer. We take another round. We're almost done. There are two issues there. Legal services, which is not a big program. And then you go forward looking into the application for the next one. So let's take a 15-minute tea break. We come back, you answer, and then we continue with further questions if there are any, and the program.